In association with For Whom, thecowbelltolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom, the podcast tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to another episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on October 6th, 2015. This is the official podcast of For Whom, thecowbelltolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, and joining me is fellow writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, Ethan Lee. Hello, Ethan.
How's it going?
I'm getting by.
Yeah. I'm not as enthusiastic as I could be right now.
Yeah. And I'm sure people know the reason why, as Mississippi State fell 30-17 to the Texas A&M Aggies in College Station, Texas at Kyle Field, which housed a total of 104,455 people on Saturday. On the bright side, Ole Miss lost, right?
Yeah. But we can't talk about that without accusations of being obsessed, so you know.
That's a very good point. We are upset. We are apparently obsessed.
But hey, think about it this way.
Our podcast is Ole-Miss-centric.
Yeah, we lost to an eventual top 10 team by, you know, two touchdowns. They lost to an eventual top 15 team by four touchdowns. So maybe things aren't so bad in Starkville.
Ethan, you're obviously obsessed for comparing this to an Ole Miss loss, obviously.
Obviously. That is what is on the forefront of my mind.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So, we were both in College Station on Saturday.
Don't make it sound fancier than it is. There's no way they can make that. It's so forgettable.
We were in College Station, Texas on Saturday.
It was just such a bland town, such a bland campus.
You know, I'll go ahead and tell you this. I agree with you in saying that their campus is pretty boring. It's like a Texas desert with buildings on it. But their stadium is really, really, really nice.
It's a nice stadium.
Okay.
But it's not even that loud.
I noticed that. It wasn't loud. It wasn't.
And that is louder than what it used to be. I don't understand how you can get 104,000 people in there, have it shaking with your stupid swaying back and forth that nearly made me motion sick. Shout out to A&M Engineering for that crap. And then tell me that it is an oppressive environment when it really wasn't that loud.
Ethan Lee cannot get by a second of a Texas A&M recap without bashing some kind of Texas A&M thing.
No, I just... Okay, well, yes. Yes.
Yes.
Accurate.
Okay.
Good. But only
I'm glad that you're saying that.
Yes. If an Ole Miss fan were to listen right now and throw accusations at us for being obsessed with them, you'd have more leverage, you know, more ground to stand on saying that I'm obsessed with A&M because of how much I hate them. Like, that would be... You'd have an almost legitimate case there. Almost.
Mm-hmm.
So Ole Miss, you still suck. And I've taken shots at A&M and Ole Miss. Let's jump into the show.
All rightio. So this game, a 30-17 final. I mentioned this to you. I'll get into my standard recapping procedures, but I mentioned this to you after the game, that didn't seem like a 13-point loss. That seemed like something that was significantly worse, in my opinion.
It felt really demoralizing.
Yeah.
Just because there were so many opportunities to make this, you know, a one score or, you know, take a lead sort of situation, but they just kept shooting themselves in the foot.
I'm going to veer off our normal recap.
Go for it.
Procedures. I usually ask you about your thoughts, but I'll just go ahead and
go with your
this.
Thoughts first.
Okay. There is one thing, in my opinion, there are two drives, not necessarily drives, but there are two possessions in this game that, in my opinion, are the both recapped how Mississippi State's day went, but at the same time, pretty much completely is the bit. In my opinion, these two possessions were the reasons why Texas A&M won this football game. And no, neither of them had turnovers. First of all, both of these came in the second quarter. The first of which came after a Texas A&M possession that was a 13-play possession that went for 5 minutes and 44 seconds, where Texas A&M went from their own 25 to their own 43. They punted to Mississippi State, who took over at their own 20 with 5 minutes and 49 seconds left in the first half. In the first half. What happened in the previous possession, just a couple plays earlier, was that Kyle Allen completed a pass to Josh Reynolds for 9 yards, a tackle made by Will Redmond, and then was flagged for a targeting penalty by Ricky Seals-Jones, who was ultimately ejected. It seemed like Ricky Seals-Jones' ejection did nothing but rile up Texas A&M, as the first play of Mississippi State's possession was a sack from Deshaun Hall of Dak Prescott, who had the ball for a 5-yard sack, who it seemed like Dak Prescott had the ball for a total of 1 second before falling to the ground. The next play was an incomplete pass to Malik Deer, and the next one was a 6-yard rush on a 3rd and 15. They decided to run Dak Prescott for 6 yards, and then we punted. Texas A&M, getting into the second possession now. That was possession number one. The second possession was Texas A&M having the ball with 4 minutes and 16 seconds at the Mississippi State 47. This possession ended up turning into a missed 49-yard field goal. Mississippi State down 17-10 while all of this is happening, right after a previously earlier in the second quarter, Weston Graves made a field goal. 52-yarder, by the way. Wait a minute, my bad. It was the Malik Deer 52-yard run. I apologize for my mistake. Mississippi State has the ball with 2 minutes left in the first half. And we go 3 plays for 1 yard and 44 seconds, followed up by a 32-yard punt. The next possession, Texas A&M scores in 5 plays and 54 seconds to take a 24-10 lead at halftime. That's not good.
No.
I said, when Mississippi State had the ball with 2 minutes left, that I don't care if it's a field goal. We just need points. We're going to get the ball back to start the second half. And we just need points. A field goal can make it 17-13. And I've never seen worse play calling in my life. I just haven't. Brandon Holloway gets a 1-yard loss, then an incomplete pass to Fred Brown, and then I believe that the Dak Prescott complete pass to Fred Brown for 2 yards is just a little screen that was...
It was a screen.
Yes. It was a screen on a 3rd and 11.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say that Dan Mullen should get fired or anything, like what Facebook commenters say. But Dan Mullen, this was the worst called game of his career. And I truthfully am thinking of blaming this loss on Dan Mullen. Simply because
I think that's fair.
Of the horrific play calling that came out of this football game.
We got outcoached. It's not like A&M was that much more talented than us. They had some more beasts on the off, on their defensive line than what we have. But their team, all in all, just really a mirror image of ours, outside of the difference at quarterback. And, we got outcoached, just plain and simple.
And I also have one little thought here that I know you agree with.
Go for it.
Our offense sucks. We don't have an offense. And last year was a team that prided itself on offense.
Yeah.
This year, we are averaging 17 points per game against SEC opponents, and I didn't realize this. There should have been a major red flag waving about how bad our offense is when we scored 17 points on the almighty Auburn defense.
And yeah, I ignored that red flag.
I think the reason why is because we just beat Auburn on the road. And all we could think about was how our bend but don't break defense, which it broke a lot against A&M, how they played against Auburn. And we're looking over here. I'll pull up the stats really quickly here. We score 17 points on Auburn and have a total of 326 yards of offense against an Auburn defense that is mediocre at best. And now here we are having 406 total yards of offense, which isn't terrible. And we actually kind of established a bit of a running game with 196 rushing yards. But still, with that being said, we can't score 17 points per game against an offense like Texas A&M. Texas A&M has a 5-star quarterback and about 3 or 4 5-star receivers. We're not going to score 17 points against that team and win. We're just not.
Especially with the way this defense is built.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, this game against Alabama that's going to be coming up. Alabama's defense, I don't think we'll get to 10 points against Alabama. And I know that's way in the future, but I'm just throwing that out here.
With the way things look now, with the way things have been the past couple of weeks, I would agree. But given some of the post-game comments, given some of what was said today, I think things are going to change in the next coming weeks. I legitimately believe that this offense will get it turned around. Simply just because I believe that Dan Mullen and Dak Prescott are just simply pissed off. They're pissed at the way things are going right now. And I think because of that, it's going to change. So, I mean, call me naive, call me whatever. But hey, you got to acknowledge the fact that I was right about needing to throw the ball. You got to acknowledge the fact that I was right in one of my articles about saying, let's start using receivers as running backs. You know, Malik Deer is the one that everybody was clamoring for. You get him out in the open, he makes a 52-yard run.
You know, I would like to say something. Sorry to interrupt here.
Go for it.
Malik Deer had a 52-yard touchdown run.
Yeah.
That was his only run of the entire game.
I remember seeing him limp a couple times, and off the field.
Well, then...
And Dak, no, who is it? Dan actually said that he was banged up a little bit.
Okay. So there we go. Yeah. That makes sense then. But I was actually pleased to see that Dak Prescott had 96 rushing yards. I was very pleased to see that.
We went back to the 2013 offense with him, and I don't necessarily believe that was the right move, but I mean, it worked. As I've gotten this reputation for saying, oh, don't run Dak ever, and what I mean to say is don't run Dak when it's ineffective, and it was effective against A&M, and I sent you a text during the game, okay, let's run Dak.
Yep.
To which you replied a couple texts later, you concede to my point and we should throw the ball. With, you know, you said some other words in there that really shouldn't repeat, but the effect was, it's time to throw the ball. So, you know, that's just kind of interesting how we kind of flip-flopped there. But, you know, Dak had a nice game all in all. It's hard to say that he didn't, outside of the fact that he was overthrowing some receivers. That pass to Shumpert on fourth down was a bit overthrown, to where Shump had to turn around, try to jump and catch it. And then on his way down, he stumbled, and the ball obviously was not a catch. So, and then he missed Gabe Miles in the end zone.
Yeah, I was wide open. I was about to mention that. I was just about to mention that.
So, I don't know exactly what's going on in Dak's head. Obviously, I'm not a mind reader. But it seems like what we've seen out of him is just, I don't know if he's putting too much on his shoulders, what's going on. But it doesn't seem like the game is just coming to him. It doesn't feel like that same flow that we had last year. Even with throwing for, you know, 210 yards and rushing for 96, you know, he had 306 total yards of offense. That's pretty good. But it's just, it doesn't seem to be coming to this entire team. Actually, you know, it's hard to say, oh, it's just Dak. No, the game doesn't seem to be coming to the team as naturally as it did last year. On either side of the ball, really.
You know, I think this team just seems confused. And really, for that, on that note, I'm confused as to what we truly need to do in the future. Because, I mean, I'm not trying to... I agree that we should throw the ball a lot. But
we threw it 34 times.
Yeah.
That should be enough.
But when we throw the ball a lot, and we actually established a bit of a running game, we still only scored 17 points. And 17 points isn't going to cut it against a lot of these SEC teams.
Well, we also turned the ball over twice on two big plays. You had the Aris Williams fumble.
And the Daronya Wilson one in the first possession out of the second half.
Yeah, so you get these two big momentum-changing plays that the offense looks like it's about to make its mark, and then it just
doesn't.
Yeah, so that's obviously going to affect some sort of mentality, because I'm going to go ahead and compare it to my poor Ultimate Frisbee playing. Whenever I get beat on a deep pass, I tend to get pretty pissed. I tend to get pretty upset, and it doesn't always translate into, oh, let me, you know, just automatically play better. So I'm assuming that these guys, on such a higher scale, you know, it's just so much harder for them to shake that mentality of something just went wrong, you know?
Certainly.
And that's a dumb comparison, just intramural frisbee to Z1 college football, you know, top level.
And the SEC.
Yeah. But you can ask an athlete for any sport, you know, when something goes wrong, it doesn't always translate into some sort of, hey, let's do better. So.
Now let's get off the game for a second, but I want to talk about Texas A&M. And I think you know what I'm going to say, because I've told you this a bunch.
Is it about their golf course?
No.
Okay.
I forgot about that. It's not about their golf course. But I do enjoy the fact that there is a golf course on their campus.
Even with as dull as their campus is.
Gotta take Aggie shots.
I have to.
Ethan, I've told you this a bunch, and I believe it, and we're probably going to end up having a 20-minute discussion on this, but let's just not.
Okay.
Texas A&M has too much talent not to win the SEC next year. I sent you this. I firmly believe that Texas A&M will win the SEC next year.
You're entitled to your opinion.
I know I am, and I know that you don't agree with it.
And it's not just because I'm biased against A&M. There's more to it. But
I mean,
I'll let you continue.
This all... You know, I'll go ahead and tell you this. Answer this question for me. And I'm not even going to talk about their offense, which is, of course, their strength. And I know that I'm about to ask this question about their defense, and you're going to talk about that Mississippi State's offense is inept, and I agree. Where would you rank John Chavis among defensive coordinators in the SEC?
He's in the top tier.
Okay, what is your definition of top tier?
Yeah, him, Kirby Smart, and few others. Yeah, I'd throw that goober over at Florida up there right now because of what his defense did. I'm not going to name him just because I'm mad at him. So he also blocked me on Twitter, so I can't. I can't tweet at him.
I think that's more of just a talent standpoint than his.
No, I completely agree, but you know that's also it's something you have to consider of how things are going, and you know we talked before the show about what I think of his defensive skills, his scheme, but yeah, no, I would put those three at the top right now.
Yeah.
Just, you know, without diving too much into it, I'll throw those three at the top.
But I mean, I look at their offense. Kyle Allen and Christian Kirk and Josh Reynolds and Ricky Seals-Jones.
You can go all day listing like 95 receivers that they have so many receivers.
And their defense actually looks good, which is what has hindered them these last couple of years.
Yeah.
I don't see how they can't win the SEC next year. There is one team, in my opinion, that's in their way, and that would be LSU. But I look at the schedule, and they've got LSU at home. And I know you're going to talk about how, well, A&M isn't that loud of a place still. Blah, blah, blah. And
we'll get into this discussion probably in the offseason. Just putting it out there, I don't see how A&M does better than second or third in the West next year. I think they'll be good. I really do. But I think there's several other teams that'll be just as improved. Another team in maroon and white that'll be significantly better next year with all the young talent they have. So I'll leave those comments there because this could be a very long discussion that we could have.
Yeah, because we are literally on opposite ends of the spectrum here.
No, we both think that A&M will be very good next year.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about the other team in maroon and white that we like to cheer for.
Oh, yeah, well, okay.
You know my
opinion. We'll talk about that in the offseason.
But Ethan, do you have any final thoughts on this game? Other than that our offense seems inept and that
I mean, there's a lot I could say about A&M.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that I won't say about A&M.
That's probably smart.
Yeah. Just because it wouldn't look good. It would look like me being a sore loser or whatever. But, you know, congrats to the Aggies. They're in the top tier of the SEC West right now. They're amongst the three best teams in the West right now. And that is something that they have not been the past couple years. You look at last year, they were a dumpster fire. They had no answers. And it looks like they finally righted the ship. So congrats to the Aggies. Welcome to the West. Now the real hard stuff begins for them, because as we've seen, once you make that climb, it's hard to maintain it. And the Aggies saw that in 2012, that they made the climb and they fell right back down. So, you know, we'll see what happens in these coming weeks. They've got games against LSU and Bama, where you're going to see significantly better defenses. That'll be interesting to me. I also want to see if they can stop Derrick Henry and Leonard Fournette. So, yeah, I mean, my final thoughts are just, you know, congrats to the Aggies on that. That's all I've got.
So that'll wrap it up for that discussion, and now let's get into our SEC games, shall we?
Sure.
Ethan, I have a...
Still got a one-game lead.
Ethan, I like you say this all the time.
I got a one-game lead.
Be quiet. I want to speak. You say this all the time, how you have a beef with someone.
Yeah.
Well, I have a beef with two football teams. the Middle Tennessee State Blue Raiders and the Tennessee freaking Volunteers. You're both from the great state of Tennessee, but I freaking hate you right now. Tennessee, you had a 14-0 lead over a team that lost to Toledo, and you lost. Middle Tennessee State, you had a 13-3 lead over a team that lost to Western Kentucky, and you still lost. And guess what? I picked both of you, and because of you, I am one game down to Ethan Lee in our competition, even though I had a one-game lead at one point on Saturday. I hate you both. Okay, let's talk about the games.
Where do we want to start?
I think that South Carolina, Missouri was just a boring game. Nothing much to talk about there. So let's dive in.
We don't want to see receiving stat.
What are you doing? You literally just ruined something. You probably just, people just heard the thing that I was about to do when you
I didn't want you to go into that because I was checking stats from the game. I was seeing
what do you want to talk about South Carolina and Missouri?
I was seeing if Jamon Moore, my former high school classmate, guy I had a couple classes with, seeing how he did. You know, I just wanted to know.
I'm sorry, I didn't know that. You could have. He had 2 receptions for 19 yards.
I noticed. Drew Locke sucks. He needs to throw the ball at him more.
Yeah, let's talk about this game that I was just about to do this again, and you ruined it, but let's just do it. I'm not even going to sing it. I'm not even going to do the awesome drums. I mean, I'm not even going to do that. I mean, I'll just let this play. I mean, Vernon Gary, I mean, woo, CBS, woo, Home Depot, okay. Alabama beat Georgia 38-10.
That's not what I predicted.
No. I re-listened to the show on last week, Thursday show on Sunday.
That's not what I predicted at all.
I will quote Ethan Lee in saying.
Go for it.
This is in your exact words, but there's a point in here that wasn't your exact words. I was talking to a friend, and I said that Derrick Henry would have a better game than Nick Chubb, but that Alabama would still lose by 17.
That was not true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alabama.
And technically, Derrick Henry did have a better game because he had 2 more yards.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
I am.
2 more yards.
Ooh. Yes.
And Jake Coker, the graceful man himself, had 28 yards from 6 carries and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Jake Coker. Yes.
He did better than Kenyon Drake. Kanye and, yeah.
Yeah, Kanye. Grayson Lambert, I don't know what happened to him, but.
Maybe it just turns out that FSU quarterbacks are better in the SEC than Virginia quarterbacks. I don't know.
Seems like it.
But it's not like Bryce Ramsey did any better.
1 for 6 for 20 yards and 2 picks.
Yep.
2 picks from one-third of his passes were interceptions.
Yeah.
You know, Alabama. I've heard. I know this has been quoted. I'm probably going to be literally the 50,000th person to say this, but about Alabama football, the reports of their death are greatly exaggerated.
It's not a dynasty anymore because they don't control college football the way they used to. They're a good team, but they are to college football right now what Oregon was a couple years ago. They're a good team, but they're not elite. They're not the elite.
Is Joe Flacco an elite quarterback?
No, he's not.
Okay.
And Alabama is not an elite program right now. You know, we talked before the show that it's possible they get 2 more losses this season. So, I mean, for any Bammers out there that are listening to us, at me on Twitter. Count at me. Because I don't think it's a dynasty. You can't convince me that this is a dynasty right now. It's a very good team, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, when you lose to Swag Kelly, you turn the ball over 5 times to Ole Miss, which dumb plays. You do that You know, this year you lost to them last year. You got embarrassed in the Sugar Bowl last year. You're a good team. You're just not a dynasty. And I don't see what's wrong with saying that. I don't see what's wrong with people realizing that.
So really,
Barrett Salih tweeted a bunch that they're not a dynasty.
So, I mean, and I'm sure Barrett Salih's never wrong. I mean,
he might just be a little sour.
I think when you said that Barrett Salih tweeted that they're not a dynasty, your entire point may have just self-destructed.
Barrett's a pretty smart guy. He's smarter than both of us.
Okay.
You're not happy about that.
No.
Danny Cannell's a pretty smart guy, too. He just chooses to be dumb.
I'm about to throw up. I'm going to go into a corner and die. The only thing left for you is to say that one man that we discussed on Thursday, one man who had a Twitter account, and there are sort of tweets in there that were quite entertaining, as a great commentator. Care to share that?
I'm trying to think of who we talked about.
Really?
I legitimately don't remember.
The Twitter account, I thought, gave it away.
Twitter account. I've said Danny Cannell. I've said
the person that had a Twitter account but no longer does, but there are tweets that are really
annoying. The fact that Jackie Sherrill is responsible for Mark May, and that is just caused to dislike.
I didn't mention Jackie Sherrill.
He's a college football analyst too.
He does something. What the heck is the coach's cabana? I mean, that's what he does. I don't
that sounds like a bar. Like a rundown bar in Biloxi or something.
That's going to be Barry Manilow.
The Coach's Cabana. I'm going to open up the Coach's Cabana down in Biloxi.
That's going to be the next Barry Manilow song. At the Coach's Cabana.
No. Okay, so
but literally, let's move on to the next broadcast game. Texas A&M games for Coach's Cabana, which is apparently something that Barry Switzer created, but I mean, whatever. Auburn beat San Jose State by 14, and they still suck.
Yep.
Let's talk about this game.
This one's going to be popular amongst our listeners.
Arkansas? Is it the Arkansas game you're talking about?
No. Whoa, that's not a game I was expecting you to jump into.
Oh, no, because we're in a different order. I want to save the game you're talking about. You know what? We're saving the game you're talking about for last, because we want a little bit of sweetness to end this. But let's talk about Arkansas and Tennessee.
They're both dumpster fires.
Tennessee sucks. I mean, I picked Tennessee to win the East, and I'm all in. Oh, I was all in. Oh, my God. I buy into hype more than...
And you're over here complaining that Georgia's all hype. Look at Tennessee right now.
I picked Tennessee.
Georgia's a legitimate team.
I picked Tennessee to win the East, Auburn to win the West, and Georgia Tech to make it to the playoff.
Yeah.
I'm not a smart human being.
No.
Appreciate it, buddy.
And you complain about me saying Barrett Salih and Danny Cannell are smart.
And I'm stupid.
The Vols and the Hogs both suck. It just happens that the Vols right now suck more.
Tennessee had a 14-0 lead at one point, and the fact that Tennessee blew another 14-point lead doesn't surprise me whatsoever.
I mean,
they're going to do it against Georgia too. You know they're going to. They're going to.
They're not even going to get up.
No. Georgia is going to fall behind by 14 points. Tennessee is going to lose again, and Charlie Burris may as well just hang himself. I love you, Charlie, but I mean,
yeah, he's gonna implode it. Look, there's no way they even take a 3-point lead on Georgia at any point in this game.
Tennessee's going
to
be
the Bulldogs coming off that embarrassing loss to Alabama. There's no way they get behind.
Tennessee's going to be
Mark Richt will have them up, and they're just going to run right through Tennessee.
Tennessee's going to be 2-4. No, wait one second. Do you want me to read you Tennessee's schedule in the future here?
Sure.
At home against Georgia.
Loss.
At Alabama.
Loss.
At Kentucky.
Ooh. Flip a coin there.
I think they lose that game.
I would not be surprised.
They're 2-6, and this... man.
Oh, no.
This game, they're going to be 2-6 going into a home game against the Gamecocks of South Carolina.
That game will be evidence that football should never be played again because it'll just be so bad. But, yeah, they're going to win with, like, a half-empty Rocky Top.
So that'll make them 3-6. They're going to beat Texas before they play at Missouri.
Oh, man.
This team could go 5-7. Because they're...
Butch Jones would be crucified.
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets fired on the spot. And if they get if he gets fired, you know who Tennessee is going to be going all in on?
They might lose to Vanderbilt if he gets fired.
If they lose to Vanderbilt,
they go 4-8.
Tennessee's football program should melt.
They should just shut down on the spot. Just no more Tennessee football.
But hey,
you know who they should bring back to coach the Vols?
Is it someone by the name who looks like Daniel Tosh?
That'd be a pretty good one.
Mr. Lane Kiffin?
That'd be a pretty good one. we had some fun with Charlie with, you know, I think I suggested Kroom.
Yeah,
you suggested Houston Nutt.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I think that Tennessee should just give it all up and just go back to Philip Fulmer. I mean, why not?
Why not bring in Peyton Manning as your offensive coordinator, hire Fulmer?
Peyton Manning just needs to become their head coach. I mean, he's idolized.
I mean, he's got a big enough head for that, too.
Wow.
I'm not a Peyton Manning fan for all the times that he has just destroyed the Texans.
Goodness gracious. You're just going to get right into the Peyton Manning insults. I think we should just end the Tennessee conversation right there.
Yes, we should. I dislike Peyton Manning more than I dislike Eli Manning, for what it's worth.
So, this next game that I have on the ESPN thing, Vanderbilt beat Middle Tennessee, and there's nothing to talk about that except it was on the CBS Sports Network, and...
No.
No, I need to go back to the beginning. Wait a minute, I'm sorry, there we go.
No.
Yeah. Woo, Vanderbilt, woo! Commodores. Anchor down.
At least they won.
Anchor down. Woo!
Yeah,
Anchor
they
down.
Won.
Anchor
That's
down.
The only thing we need to say about that.
Anchor down. Two wins. Woo. Two wins. Terrible offense. Woo-hoo.
Okay, just stop. Yeah. Let's move on to Eastern Michigan
LSU
and LSU.
LSU beat Eastern Michigan. LSU nearly lost to Eastern. They were up by about a touchdown in the third quarter, but that's not
enough. Late in the fourth, I thought.
Yeah, possibly.
All right. Let me pull that score up. Okay, early in the fourth quarter, LSU pulled away. And apparently Leonard Fournette took some shots at the coaches for not getting the team up enough for this.
Leonard Fournette, 26 carries for 233 yards and 3 touchdowns. Once again, I told you that he should have had a better performance against a team that gave up 320 rushing yards per game.
I'm getting concerned about how many carries he's getting.
He could get injured by the end of the year.
I legitimately don't want to see that because of how much fun it is watching him, but just with as much of a load as he's carrying right now, I'm getting concerned about that. And I crowned Brandon Harris as the answer earlier in the season. He looked bad in this game. I was rewatching some of it online earlier, and it just, he, 4 of 15. Imagine with me just right now. I'm meant to ask this to our friends and the Valley Shook earlier in the year. I'm not sure if I did or not.
Did it? Was the penguin or was the dolphin?
Not the pink dolphin.
Was the dolphin? Did the dolphin question replace this question?
Potentially. Imagine right now, and Justin put it in his SEC recap. Imagine if they had Dak Prescott right now.
They would be pretty good.
Damian Williams would probably be our starter. And They would be an elite team. They would be the best team in the West.
You were about to say elite. Is Joe Flacco an elite quarterback?
No.
Okay.
They would be easily the best team in the nation with Dak Prescott and Leonard Fournette.
But hey, they don't have Dak Prescott, and if they did, he would be a linebacker.
Potentially a tight end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's skip the let's get off of chronological order. And do you want to talk anything about how Kentucky nearly lost to the Colonels of Eastern Kentucky and how they were down by 2 touchdowns with 7 minutes left, and then Eastern Kentucky pulled a Jacksonville State, gave up 2 touchdowns to tie it, and then kneed the ball with 50 seconds left in the game when they had the ball and a potential game-winning score, went to overtime and lost. I pretty much just recapped it there because if you want to get into the game, then I'm sure everyone wants to get into. And I've got a really fun soundbite to play that I'm just patiently waiting on.
Okay, the 2 points that I want to make is Eastern Kentucky, their mascot is the Colonels.
Yes, they are. They share it with, like, Nichols State, I believe, is also the Colonels.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's Colonel Sanders. I mean, that's probably... Colonel Sanders is probably who they named it after since it's in Kentucky. I mean,
probably.
Eastern Kentucky Colonel Sanders.
But with some of the controversy around Ole Miss and their Confederate imagery, that, you know, the Colonels might be a good standby if they need help finding a new mascot, another new mascot.
I mean, you never know.
And two, the people that think we're going to lose to Kentucky, just sit down for a second. Look at Kentucky's body of work and tell me that Kentucky's a good team. Look me straight in the screen and into your earbuds. And tell me Kentucky's a good team. Try to convince me. But you can't, one, because you're looking at a screen. And two...
Actually, no, you're probably not even looking at it. You said you were looking at your earbuds. I mean...
I said screen and earbuds.
Oh, well, you're looking at... Yeah.
Either way, two, it's just an illogical argument right now.
Okay.
So, yeah. Three, don't talk to your screen unless... It's like a phone, and you're calling your mom or something.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, that's all I have. Play your soundbite.
That's actually not even where I wanted to start it because YouTube screwed up, but I'll play it from the beginning.
It's fine.
I wanted to start it here. This would actually have been best, but, you know, that's unfortunate for me. Yeah, that's fun. Ole Miss lost to Florida 38-10. This is the one sliver of joy that I had this past weekend.
Just listen to me for a second.
I'm excited talking about this.
I told you this last week, that the last time Ole Miss went to Gainesville, an eventual national title winner lost.
You're about to say that Ole Miss is going to win the national championship.
I'm about to say that there's no way on earth that they win the national title because they looked like crap. They lost to a team who had 21 players out with the flu. Explain that one to me, Ole Miss. Explain that. What happened? Is this Florida's version of the Michael Jordan flu game? Explain that. Like, that is inexplicable.
I would like to call out Mr. Gary Wunderlich, a person who went to my school in Memphis, Tennessee, who missed a 30-yard They turned the ball over 4 times.
Swag Kelly was sacked 4 times. Okay, let's just calm down.
I've got nothing.
Let's roll through these stats.
Oh, man.
Florida took a 13-0 lead in the first, and then they piled on 12 more points in the second, And they didn't score again until the fourth, but when they did, they scored 13 more points. And, yeah, the final score was 38-10. Ole Miss didn't score with that high-powered offense until the third quarter. And they only scored 10
the
points.
Ball three times.
For the Ole Miss offensive line that was supposed to be the best in the nation and the best in the world ever, they did not protect Chad Kelly, and they did not give anyone room to run. And, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again, Chad Kelly is just Bo Wallace 2.0. He is no better than Bo Wallace. I mean, he's more talented, obviously. He's probably got a better arm. But he's not playing much better.
You know, Ethan, I wish I just watched this game instead of the state game. I would have had popcorn out, some soda.
Laquon Treadwell and Evan Engram combined for 83 yards. Combined. That's not a good output for what should be the best, you know, receiving core in the SEC. I mean, that receiving core is on par with A&M and Mississippi State. You know, I think those are the best three in the conference. And they got outplayed by DeMarcus Robinson, a guy that nobody really considered to be phenomenal. And he goes off for 8 receptions and 98 yards. And that's impressive.
Against that. Oh, man. I get.
And then they gave up 83 yards on the ground to Kelvin Taylor, a guy that was being eviscerated just a couple of weeks ago by his coach.
Oh, man.
Will Greer, 24 of 29 for 271 yards, 4 touchdowns. Whatever Florida did to Ole Miss, every other team going forward should copy.
Well, that means every team needs to get the flu.
If it means we win, I am perfectly fine with that. Dak Prescott, do not get your flu shot, please.
I can't wait until November 28th. You don't realize how much I am counting down the days until November 28th.
This Egg Bowl is going to be good. Let me put it this way. There's a chance that Ole Miss gets it together. They have a few injuries here and there, you know. But I just, man, whatever magic Ole Miss had to start the season, it's all gone. This is reminiscent of 2012 Mississippi State. The We Believe and running into a buzzsaw in Alabama. Like, they ran into a buzzsaw in the swamp.
And Florida wasn't even supposed to be that good.
The Gators might be the best team in the East, with a shot at being the best team in the SEC.
Well, being the best team in the East isn't saying much.
No, but since, the second half of Tennessee, they've looked good.
No, we're really the fourth quarter of Tennessee.
Whatever. They have found their quarterback. They have found an offense. And they already have a really good defense and some jerk of a defensive coordinator to go with it. So
he who shall not be named. I don't read Harry Potter, by the way.
I don't either. It's not that great of a book. Series. I guess it's a series of books.
It is a series. I think there were like 7.
It's not that. Yeah. Whatever. Go Gators.
Chomp chomp.
Go to hell, Ole Miss.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've been counting down the days until you would say that on this show.
Really?
Yeah, I've been.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because you always talk about A&M and how much A&M sucks and how much you hate A&M, and then
I don't always talk about A&M. I'll talk about UT occasionally too because I hate them too.
I didn't know you hated Tennessee.
No, I hate the University of Texas, UT.
Oh,
well, yeah.
You mean Texas?
I hate
because UT is Tennessee. UT is the University of Tennessee. Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of UT, they're a dumpster fire, and that's fun to watch. I mean, it's not fun to watch,
really quickly, we need to wrap this show up. But I'll look up the I'll look up Texas's, not UT's, but Texas's upcoming schedule.
They're gonna lose
to Oklahoma.
Yeah, they're gonna lose.
Kansas State.
Gonna lose.
Iowa State.
They might win.
If they lose to Kansas, Charlie Strong just needs to go somewhere and hide in a corner and
he needs to cry in the shower, like I do after I lose intramural ultimate frisbee. Because he's just been thrown into such a mess. And there's so much we could talk about that, but I don't think it's entirely his fault.
Yeah, so Texas is probably going to get out of this season with 2 to 3 wins.
Man, that is so beautiful. What a time to be alive. I hate that album. But I just... Man, that's beautiful.
Also, in other news around the country, I would like to give credit to Dabo Swinney and ESPN. Dabo Swinney was going at it on his post-game interview, and I guess SportsCenter anchors looking at iPads are more entertaining than that, and they ended up pretty much being more entertaining because...
Well, they just sat there.
They just... That was,
for a good, what, 30 seconds?
Yeah, something like that. But anyways, that'll pretty much wrap it up for this episode of Ruin the Podcast Tools. Ethan Lee, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, this team still has a shot to go 9-3. Mississippi State does. Everybody seems to just be down on the program right now. I mean, I legitimately think we take 6 in the next 7. And I think that we get it turned around here. The team has some soul-searching to do. They have to lick their wounds because there are quite a few injuries. But we're going to see some very talented young players coming up. And I just think this is a moment where the program continues to grow. And I would not be surprised potentially to see us duke it out with Alabama, depending on how this team gets it turned around. I don't think we're going to beat them right now, but there's a lot to be said about having Dak Prescott and Dan Mullen both, you know, really upset right now. And neither one of them seem too excited. I mean, from what I understand, Dan Mullen was pretty friendly at the press conference today, but I can't imagine either of them are happy with the way things are going. So, but if you had asked most Mississippi State fans, oh, you know, first 5 games, you go 3-2, would you take it? I think most of us would.
I predicted it.
Yeah. And if we were only to lose to Alabama down the stretch, that's 9-3. That's a good season. That'd get us into a good bowl game. And that's something to be happy with. Yeah, the expectations are raised. But the team is going to improve. So, well, if they don't improve, you can all throw eggs in my apartment. I'll let my roommates know.
I'll be quoted on you. We will be
go for it. Go for it. I will buy someone a carton of eggs to throw at my door. If we don't improve.
Hey, you heard it here first. So that will wrap it up for this episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls. On Thursday, we will be previewing that game against Troy, the Trojans.
We're probably going to focus more on other SEC games, because that one's just going to... Well, it's like the Northwestern State game. It's just going to be so boring.
Ethan, if you really want to focus on other SEC games, do you want me to read you the SEC schedule for next week?
Please let it be interesting.
Such games as New Mexico State at Ole Miss.
That's... Dang it.
LSU at South Carolina.
They're going to kill them.
Georgia at Tennessee.
That one could be fun to preview.
Arkansas at Alabama.
Oh, man. That's such a boring slate of games.
And Florida at Missouri.
Hey, listeners, get us some questions to talk about, because the next show is going to be kind of boring. if you don't.
The only top 20, there are two top 25 games, there are two games around the country that have, only two, that feature two ranked teams playing each other.
Well, let's bounce around the country a little bit then.
So
let's take
about,
a road trip.
Let's talk about Cal and Utah and Northwestern and Michigan.
Absolutely. Yes. That'll be fun to talk about.
Let's do it.
The khaki pants.
Indeed. So yeah. That will wrap it up for this episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls, which I've already said. So for Ethan Lee, I'm Daniel Black. Thank you all for listening. And bye-bye, everybody.